I guess everyone's still cleaning their cars, or it was a late night last night. I don't often preach on cartoons, but given the times we live in and our prayers and concerns for people, I found yesterday's cartoon in the Daily Local particularly poignant. Maybe you saw it. There are two people in their living room chair, and the fellow was reading the paper. The headline, "Another Mass Shooting." And the wife says, "I don't think thoughts and prayers are working." While we might take issue with that, I think the point is rather clear. In abundance, we need something more than thoughts and prayers. And as we gather here this morning on this Sunday morning to pray, how important it is that we recognize that we name that. Our Archbishop this week, in his response, certainly did that. On Thursday morning, he called for two things. Yes, prayer. But the second thing is as important. And Archbishop Chaput, and I quote, said this: "We need to be angry. Angry at lawmakers, angry at news entertainment, angry at ourselves." The full statement is really worth the read, CatholicPhilly.com. And it's a statement that reflects not just his own thoughts, but they certainly resonated in me, and I dare to say that they even reflect the thought of God. And on this first Sunday of Lent, the scriptures share with us in a very powerful way God's thoughts, God's response to evil. And it is clear in this first reading how angry God can be. You remember the story. Our first reading today is about the flood. Now, while that covers three chapters, our little reading was very short. But this is one of the first demonstrations of God's anger. And it was quite dramatic. As early as Genesis 6, Scripture tells us that violence filled the earth. Genesis 6:12 says this: "God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt." Isn't that sad? This creation that was so beautiful, by the sixth chapter, corrupt. And he says to Noah, "The earth is full of violence." I wonder what God would say today. I wonder. You know the rest of the story. God destroyed the world with a flood. And the great flood is a story of his recreation. It's a story not just of his anger, but of his mercy. It's the story that evil has a limit. But even after the flood, even after a covenant is made, a new time, the corruption comes back. Keep reading. Genesis 11. More corruption. The gospel scene shows that corruption, that drama, on full display this morning. The context: Jesus is in the desert. And in that desert, he confronts evil. There's a great tension, which is really dramatic, in this gospel. We hear of the Holy Spirit who leads Jesus into the desert, but we hear of the evil spirit, Satan himself. We hear of angels ministering to God, but we hear of beasts that he's living among. We hear of his freedom of going forth. We hear of John's imprisonment. And the point is clear. Jesus is in the midst of it all, confronting evil, not from the outside in, as in the Old Testament, but now from the inside out. And it's from that position in human flesh that we see what God does with evil. He overturns it. He robs it of its force, not with violence, but obedience. Not with force and vengeance, but with the power of truth and justice. The very presence of God now with us orients everything to himself. It strips death of its force. It breaks the cycle of corruption and sin. And as we know, because we're about to celebrate it, what is established in Jesus is not just another covenant, but an eternal covenant. The takeaway from all of this for us is this. No matter the evil, no matter the darkness, no matter what, God is now here. And how important we believe that. Perhaps you saw the picture in the newspaper, which I think was so moving. The woman with ashes of cross on her head, crying her heart out in Florida. You may remember there's a wonderful book after 9/11 entitled, We Were There. Heroic men and women who demonstrated the presence of God in the midst of such evil. The question for us as Christians this Lent is this. Is he here? Christianity is not just thoughts and prayers. It's not just personal holiness. It is the reality of God with us and us with God. That first part, we just celebrated it. It's called Christmas, God with us. The second part, well, that's this time. Lent. Us with God. And that's going to be ugly. It really is. It demands conversion. It demands growth in virtue and holiness. It demands the disciplines of fasting and prayer and charity, no matter what. It will demand us saying no every day to the million and one temptations that we confront, and us saying yes more and more to God with us, so that we become not just people who believe in God, thoughts and prayers, showing up on Sunday, being a priest, but rather we become people who are becoming him. we become Jesus. And anything short of that will leave us short. Anything short of us becoming God in the world today, even thoughts and prayers, it's not going to cut it. And so this Lent, this first Sunday of Lent, as we begin this first week of Lent, the call is quite clear. And seeing the needs that there are, knowing the call of God upon us, how privileged we are to say yes. I want to close with the prayer of Patrick, our patron. He confronted lots of evils. And his prayer was not just thoughts and prayers, but it was authentic prayer that made him the presence of God in a powerful way. I'm not going to read the whole prayer here. I'll do that in the morning when I wake up every day of Lent. But you're familiar with it. St. Patrick's breastplate. He prayed, "I arise today through a mighty strength, the invocation of the Trinity. I arise today through the strength of Jesus Christ and his life. I arise today through the strength of the love of heaven, through the strength of God himself. I arise today with God and in him, and I summon all of God to be with me. Christ with me, Christ before me, behind me, in me, beneath me, above me, at my right, left, when I lie down, sit down, arise. In everything, Christ. I arise today through a mighty strength, the invocation of the Trinity." My friends, we need to arise. And may God the Holy Spirit wake up in us that passionate love of Jesus, which conquers all evil and which establishes us and our families and, dare I say, our world with the love of heaven. May God be with you this Lent, and may he give all of us the grace to be more faithful.